Yeah. So we're so happy to have you here today, Mr. Forney. We're so sorry for the troubles.
Yeah, good to be here.
And so we're just going to ask you, our project is centered around desegregation in Haywood County and how that all played out.
Okay.
And so we're going to be doing a video documentary. We also have a consent form at the end for you to sign, and we'll do all that at the end. And yeah, so thanks so much for being here. And so our first question is going to be, where were you born, and what school did you attend first, and what did you do outside of class?
I was born right here in Waynesville.
Okay.
At the county hospital.
Yes, sir.
Back then, when you were born, especially the black children, they had to stay with their mothers. They couldn't go into the nursery like the other kids did.
I got you.
And I come to find out they were doing much better. They was looking more healthy because they were there with their mothers, you know, getting mother's milk. So that was in the 50s. 54 was when I was born. My first school was right here.
Wow.
I went to Pigeon Street. I was telling her that we had three rooms. We had first and second, third and fourth, and fifth and sixth.
Okay.
Now, at that time, of course, the schools were segregated. When you got to the seventh grade, you had to ride the bus down to Canton at the Reynolds School.
Okay.
Well, before that happened, they desegregated.
Okay.
And I got to go to Waynesville Junior High, is what we called it, middle school, man.
Okay.
So that's the way that it worked out for me. And it was a big difference. It sure was.
And in your younger years, what did you enjoy doing outside? Outside of class.
There was a group of us. We all played together.
Yeah.
You know, it was, we did basketball, football, even in people's yards, stickball, all kinds of stuff. We stayed, we were very creative in our playtime because we didn't have TV. Well, we had TV, but it was one, and I remember when Ms. Howell got the first color TV, and we was looking through the door at her color TV and watching Batman and seeing pow, bam, on the screen. It was fascinating, and everybody else had black and white. But
that would have been amazing to see color like that.
Yeah,
especially as a kid
Batman. Yeah, it was good.
So after you left the school, what was your highest level of education, and what did you do after school? Like first jobs and things like that.
My highest level education, I probably ought to stop at high school. I went a couple of years of college, but I did not finish beyond sophomore year, so I had a couple of years of college.
Yeah.
And at that time, I got a job at the Inca plant over in Inca. Turned over to, what was it, Belzona or something like that. I can't remember what it changed over to. But after that, I went to the Champion in the paper mill.
Yeah.
About 1974.
1974.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I've never heard of the Inca plant.
The Inca plant.
So what did they produce?
They produced rayon, nylon.
Okay.
And I worked in the textile development, and it was, we would dye carpets and see how the rayon and nylon looked.
Yeah.
On a small scale.
I got you.
Before we sold it. Yeah.
I think my mom did something similar to at a plant called Burlington Mills.
Yeah, probably similar to that because there was pot spinning and all kind of things going on.
I'm from
there.
Statesville, North Carolina.
Okay.
So factories like that. So could you describe what a normal day was like? What were the classes like here?
Oh, wow. That's about too far back from me. But I was telling her we were in first and second, so when I was in the first grade, I would listen because she would work on, Miss Howe was the teacher, Marion Howe, and she kept discipline. She was a stern disciplinarian. I mean, you didn't cut up in her class, you didn't do nothing to make it bad for the other classes because there was maybe 15 people in the whole two classes.
Wow.
And if you paid attention, you could learn what next year was going to be like.
Okay.
So after the second grade, you'd go to Ms. Osborne, Ms. Elsie Osborne's room.
Mm-hmm.
She was third and fourth. She wasn't as strict, but she was still pretty strict. Yeah, there's no goofing off.
Yeah.
We all had to learn And the classes were, I can't even remember what they were like. You know, it's been so long ago, but it was just reading and writing and arithmetic, you know, the three R's. And I remember run Dick and Jane and what spot run, you know, those kind of things, just repetitive type.
So did you have, like, different types of classes, or were all of the classes with one teacher similar to the way elementary schools are today?
Yeah, they were all similar. They wasn't different any more than just reading and learning different types of things. That they didn't teach us how to pass tests back then. They taught us everything. You know, and it worked out better for us, because when the tests came, there was no, you know, oh, what in the world is this? No, we've had that before, you know. So it was easy. It was easier when we got together.
And I'm assuming you guys played outside too.
Oh, yeah, the big ball field. Oh, man, we played softball, baseball, basketball, all kind of good stuff down there. We had some good times down in that field, even in school, and even after we would eat here in the cafeteria, instead of us, you know, laying around, sleeping, they send us out to play ball, you know, play basketball, play football.
And so we've read stories of where there were different ethnicities teaching at African American schools. Was that a part of your experience?
No.
Or were most of your teachers African
American? All of my teachers were African Americans. After we got out of Miss Osborne's room, we had Mr. Bryant.
That's right.
James Bryant. Yeah. And they was not afraid to use whether the paddles, rulers, whatever they could get their hands on, they would beat you with. And if we had, and I told my wife, I said, I think we did have this ADHD, but they beat it out of us so that we were, you know, calmed down. It was good.
Yeah, so based on your experience, how were African Americans treated in Haywood County during that time?
During the time that we were here?
Yes, sir. And even as you grew up and went to middle school and things like that.
It was almost second-class citizens, because when we went to town, if we wanted something to eat, they would have to fix it for us and hand it out the door. You know, we couldn't go in and sit down until the late 60s, and I remember my buddies and I. It's the first time I'm telling anybody, so y'all don't show it to my mama. We would get on the bus and ride to Asheville, where it was more black people. And we could go in Cress's. I don't even think Cress's there. It was like a drugstore like that. We could go in and get cheeseburgers and sit down and eat in there, because there were so many more black people.
Yeah.
And then we'd hop the bus and come on back home. It was, it was a good experience to see more blacks.
Yeah, I've been very nervous about that.
Especially us being on the bus. You know, when we got on the bus, of course, you had to go to the back side of the bus. Even Greyhound. Greyhound was about the only ones that Trailway wouldn't let you ride. It was Greyhound.
Wow.
Yeah.
I gotcha. So I guess our next question would be, how did African Americans in Haywood County react to desegregation of the schools? Based on our research, we've seen that a lot of African Americans liked being in the schools with students that they could relate to, and the teachers were also a lot of times African American, so they could relate to the students and just relate to them in a different way. What was the reaction amongst you and your friends?
Well, some of us, I will never forget when the year before we were getting ready to desegregate, there was this lady that came here and gave music tests to see if any of us were qualified to be in the band.
Yeah.
I think they picked two people, maybe one, out of the whole school. But there was, of those that they didn't pick, they were bass guitar players. They were piano players, and there were drummers, you know, and they wasn't picked. Yeah. It was one, I remember, he's a very good friend of mine, still is.
Yeah.
But he got to get in there, and it kind of, I was kind of like disappointed and thinking like, man, out of all these people, ain't but one person capable to learn music, you know? And I think nowadays, you know, anybody can learn music if they want to, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And I looked at it as then as a way to keep us separate. Even when we went into this junior high, I never had any of the people that I was with here in my classes at that school. It seemed like they segregated us still by not letting us have the same class.
Wow.
Only classes like we would have together is maybe like gym.
Yeah.
But as far as sitting down in another class, they were all, we were always...
So it would only be one of you guys or...
One of us. Yeah, two at the most. Wow. That would be a very good score for us. But it.
Wow. And so, I had a question I wanted to ask you about that. And so, you amongst you and your friends, when that happened, you would have rather have been...
I had rather been going to Reynolds. I really had, because I felt like it broke down our community as a whole. Yeah. And it wasn't good for us, because it broke up the churches, the schools... And everything else. The only thing that we did have later on was the church, okay? And my buddies and I, we were just separated. We were like put off into different areas and singled out. Yeah.
So did you guys still get to hang out after school?
Or? After school, maybe we got back here in our neighborhood and we played then.
I got you.
But it was... One side of town against the other side of town. It's just not good, really. It wasn't a very good time.
Yeah.
No.
Were you aware of the greater national struggles relating to school desegregation?
Well, not until later, because what I realized was that the schools were supposed to be integrated here a couple of 3 years before it actually happened. Yeah, and they was like, oh, we don't have the money, blah, 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 yeah. But I remember, like, when we were in school, we always got the books that were signed all the way out. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, I remember you just had to sign the inside cover.
Yeah, you had to sign the inside cover, and we got somewhere. Most of ours never had a place to sign. They was all used up, you know. So when I got into the other school, once we integrated, I can sign mine right here. I couldn't believe it, you know. It was a whole lot of difference, you know.
Wow, and I've read a lot about how you guys got the older books and things like that.
We really had to be very meticulous with them and not lose them, not tear them, and because we realized that the next class down the road was going to have to use these same books that we're using.
So how long do you think, you probably can't remember that, but how long do you think the books were in rotation here after being in rotation for
so long? I don't know. There was so many. I see in my mind's eye just maybe a couple of three more after the little thing was signed in.
Yeah. Wow.
Before we got them, you know. It was like, oh my goodness, these books are old.
So when desegregation of schools occurred, what school did you attend next? Was it the middle school?
Yeah, I went to Waynesville Junior. We call it Waynesville Junior High. It was from 7th to the 9th grade.
Okay.
And then Tuscola was 10, 11, and 12.
Yeah, okay.
Right now they don't. I think it's separated some other way now.
And you've talked a little bit about it, but when you first had to go to the new middle school, how were you accepted amongst your new peers? Were anybody nice? Was there anybody that stood out to you? Any teachers?
The teachers were real good. I remember I had Miss Hart and Miss Brookshire when I was in 7th grade. Miss Hart taught like a combination of humanities. She did English, you know, history and literature or something like that. And then Ms. Brookshire did science and stuff like that. And then we had a gym class. Yeah. And it seemed like it was good. I enjoyed it. But there was a few people that I could get close to.
Yeah.
But a lot of them were offish.
Yeah,
you know. They didn't. But the thing that got them more than anything is that I scored just as well as they did on some of the tests, on most of the tests, even better than they did. So then that way they sort of come around, you know, like, hey, he's just a smart, he ain't just a dumb.
He's as smart as anybody else,
you know.
Definitely.
And I let them see that, you know, we're all the same, you know.
Yeah, as long as you're given that chance.
As long as you're given a chance, or decent chance, you know.
Yeah. And so we've already compared them a little bit, but besides the newer books, what do you think the biggest differences were in terms of African-American schools and white schools at the time?
The differences, I think, was in the black schools, we were forced to learn. I mean, we was going to learn. I mean, there was no way that we was going to hip-hop our way through. Right. And then when we got to the other school, they didn't care whether we got it or not, you know, because they was getting paid the same thing, and they would like for you to fail, you know, because I taught the rest of them, they didn't learn, you know, we need to move them over into special education or whatever, you know, because they can't learn. But we all could learn, just at different rates, you know, everybody learns in a different way. Sometimes you have to present it to them in a different way.
And so when you went to the new schools, you had to... You had to want it for yourself.
Yeah. And I've always, my mom and dad always told me, for me to be as good as, to be average, I had to be better than them.
Yeah.
And that I would be considered average then. So I always tried. I always done my best to do, excelled in everything that I wanted to do. You know, I wanted to be in the dean's list. I wanted to be, you know, in the honor society. I wanted to do all those things and let them know that, hey, this guy here is just as smart as anybody else, you know. Definitely. There's no way we should discriminate against him. But still, I was. I mean, you know, that didn't make that much difference.
So where did you go to college for the 2 years?
I went to the Go Get 'Em Catamounts.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, I was out there when there was Eagle Moss and Jerry Gaines.
Okay.
And Sam Green and Herb Watts. Those were the groups of guys that I was with when they were out there, you know.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool. I enjoyed it. It was different.
Yeah.
I had a roommate for a change, first time, and it was like, oh, my gosh. And I had one that wanted to go and rappel off of Bear Lake, I believe it's the closest one up through there. And I said, no, buddy, I don't want to get no accident up there. You know. But he loved it, and I thought, you go for it, brother. You go for it.
And so talking about some similar things as we talked about with this building and your middle school. How was Western's campus and was it any more accepting or any less accepting?
Western was great. I kind of loved it too much. Sure, I only made it 2 years. But it was gorgeous. They were nice people. Everybody accepted you. I mean, it was just good. It was good. It was a great experience. I think everybody ought to have the experience that I had. By going to college at least a couple of years and to see if that's what you want to do or not.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it was good.
So that must have been amazing to be there.
It was.
To share your space with only one person.
Well, I had a roommate. His name was Glover. Glover was a pitcher, and it seemed Glover was hardly ever in my room except in the morning when I got up to go to class. There he lay. I'm like, man, where in the world have you been? I blocked the doors and I did an essay on him, and my essay was, I think my roommate is a vampire. Because he comes in through the window at night, and I hardly ever see him. But he was a baseball player, and he was under Haywood, I think. Coach Haywood was his coach. Yeah.
Gotcha. And, like, still today, the athletes are always gone and doing that. They have workouts in the mornings.
Workouts in the mornings and in the afternoons. They're hardly ever there. You know, and I was like, oh, man, this is tough.
They stay busy. So when desegregation occurred, did African Americans remain in Haywood County, or did some leave? And if they did leave, where did they go and why, if you know?
Yeah. The ones I know, most of us got a job at this mill, the ones that could and that wanted to. And some of them would puddle up some money so that they could go somewhere else. I had a friend, this friend of mine that I was mentioned earlier, he went to UNC Chapel Hill. And he became a lawyer. So he moved away. I think he lives in San Antonio, Texas right now. And he comes back to see his mother every once in a while. And I visit with him and everything.
That's good.
It's good. I like it. I'm glad to see that he did that, but a lot of it, the thing that scares me, and I know it happens all the time, but most of the people that I come through this school with died or dead. They've done something that was really stupid and wound up in a bad place.
Yeah.
In a bad place. And it's all because of the choices that you make, you know, and definitely. It seems like a hard line to make, but we are where we are because of the choices that we make, you know. Uh-huh. It ain't somebody else, oh, they done me wrong, you know. No, you did it to yourself, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And that's a hard situation.
It is. It's a hard one to see, but phew.
And so do you remember anything about the teachers? Did you have a favorite teacher throughout your entire school career? I know.
I had several. There was an algebra teacher. Her name was Ms. Edwards.
Ms. Edwards.
She taught me Algebra 1. Well, I did Algebra 1 in ninth grade, and she taught me Algebra 2, and she was cool. I enjoyed her.
Yeah.
She was a good lady. And also, another woman that stood out was Ms. Phoenix, Edith Phoenix. She was a history teacher.
Yeah.
She was the first one that guided me, even in these schools, to go and check out Black history.
Yeah.
And I was like, what in the world is she? And I got to looking, and I was like, oh my gosh. Nobody ever taught us this before. Yeah. Ms. Phoenix was the one that led me down that path, and I found out they were Black cowboys, they were Buffalo soldiers, they were all kinds of things, all kinds of inventions done by Black people. And I loved Ms. Phoenix for that, because she sent me in that direction to find out that the history that I have learned over the years was this rose-colored history where they just want to teach you what they want to know, what they wanted you to know.
Yeah.
They didn't tell us that Columbus was an evil tyrant or something, you know? Yeah. Oh, he's a great man. No, he wasn't.
Yeah.
He wasn't all that great. If you get to looking into his life and studying him, you find out, oh, he wasn't no better than nobody else. Well, he made people do this and
the terrible thing.
And the reason most of them came over here was a search for gold, you know.
Yeah.
It was, didn't care about the people.
Yeah.
And it was just, oh man. And
so Ms. Phoenix.
Ms. Phoenix really got me, she opened my mind to Black history.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. And let's see. That's almost all our questions on our short list, but a big part of this is things that we haven't asked and things that you feel are important. So is there anything we didn't talk about, and I'm sure there could be a lot that are important to you, and we'd love to know it just from your childhood and schools here?
I don't know. I think the learning experience that I had in this school helped me for the next school, you know? And the next school made me learn about people, you know, because when we were here, White people were singular. I mean, every once in a while we'd see one. And they'd come visit. Can't remember what her name was, but she was, Ms. Wolf was her name. She was a disabled lady, and she was very, very, very nice to everybody. And it made me feel good to know that there are people in this world who loves everybody no matter what, you know. And I realized that if Ms. Wolf could do it, anybody could do it. And then some of the teachers that I had, they were just phenomenal.
Yeah.
I enjoyed everything, all my classes, lots of my classmates. Some of them I still see nowadays, and I'm wondering, he said, I was a tall one guy. He said, I was in class. I said, no, you weren't. And he got to looking, and it was. We graduated the same year. I was like, I never saw you. I never saw you. You know, there were so many more people in the classes. Like, when I graduated, there might have been 300 people.
Wow.
In the graduating class. Mm-hmm.
At
Tuscola.
Yeah, okay.
At Tuscola.
Gotcha.
And there was someone. I lost my train of thought.
Yeah. Anyway, you're talking about Tuscola school, and there was someone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They. I was in the Honor Society, like I told you.
Yeah.
And I was a junior marshal with Marlene Hyatt, who judge for this area.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, man, that's really cool.
It is really cool. Yeah.
And she and I were good friends, you know. Yeah. It always seemed like the women were more accepting than the men were. I don't know why, but it seemed like they just were.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good. And we're so glad you talked to us today and you gave us so much valuable information.
We hope
to put it in a documentary, and we don't know. None of us have really any video skills, and so we'll have to figure it out as we go. We really appreciate you, and if we have any more questions,
to me anytime. Yeah, if I can be of any assistance, I would be glad to.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank
yes, sir.
Appreciate it.
Good. We did good.
All right. Good stuff.
It was. Let's see.